What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. And gentlemen, right now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Appreciate it, buddy. This wasn't part of the plan until during the break.
Oh.
And no, this has nothing to do with a spoon or knife or scissors or anything like that, all right?
Oh, man, a lot of scissor talk in the break.
You use them to cut things like wrapping paper.
Yeah.
Alec, what are you doing? Stephen A. Smith, who I frequently don't care about anything
sure.
that he says, but I do find this an interesting conversation. He said there is a lot of people inside the agent industry and in the NBA who believe Rich Paul nor any agent has any business doing a podcast. Now, I think hosting your own podcast is something. I think being a guest on a podcast is something as well. We've had agents that we've talked to
sure.
before on air, and we don't go into particulars a lot of times with some of their stuff. Now, obviously, there's agents out there that are like, I have a thing to say. Media, come to me. It's time for me to tell you my diatribe about my client or the way that the NFL is screwing over or the Major League Baseball is screwing over players and all those things. But I don't actively go out and find a current agent's podcasts to listen to. Rich Paul has a lot of power in the NBA. So much so that he told Shams to shut it down. It feels like, right?
Yeah.
Did it feel like, hey, we're going to get a second opinion.
Yeah.
Will you shut it down just a little bit? Anthony, I need you to go on your Twitter. And I know you haven't posted since July, but I need you to go on there and tell people to stop believing this fake S.
And, I mean, it worked. And I guess he was right.
I guess so. Saying they don't need to have it. Well, Clarence Hill said this is an extension of the Micah Parsons conversation in Dallas. Should active players have podcasts? And then Calvin Watkins says, a team owner I know does interviews twice a week. What's the big deal? And it's not like that interview twice a week is nationally listened to.
It's everywhere. Everybody talks about it.
Newey Scruggs was the person that made me understand that more than anything. He sat down and he was like, every time y'all have Jerry Jones on, you're not doing a local DFW interview.
Right.
You're doing an interview for the whole country.
Yes.
And I knew that after Are You Embarrassed? Because I saw the effect that it had.
Oh, yeah.
But that's an interesting point is Jerry Jones does something very different. I've talked to lots of program directors across the country who have said, you have something that we don't get. We would never have access to. And Jerry, now, that being said, Steven's come on, and many times we'll ask a question and they'll say, well, we can't get into the particulars on that.
Sure.
We can't, you know, obviously we can't talk about a player on another team, but here's what we wish for that. You know, and we get messages sent out. But Rich Paul's an agent. Why shouldn't he have a podcast? What's the harm?
Because it interferes. My answer is nothing. But for Stephen A. Smith's perspective, don't you think the answer is because it interferes with my share of the market and my direct information I can give out to people? Right? It's competition.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. Don't you think?
Rob Pelinka probably thinks the same thing too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't. Hold on. I got to get my side of the story out now.
Sure.
And he can go to the media anytime.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like agents have always had to work in the shadows?
A little bit.
And leak
yeah.
information while owners were always like, they get the press at their beck and call.
Yes.
Agents have always kind of had to, hey, I'm going to send you this information. Don't tell anybody because it's going to affect my ability to get a conversation with that owner.
Yeah. And like for Stephen A. Smith, I just view it from the perspective of, well, I talked to the agent or I talked to this player, whereas the agent can be like, I am the person he's talking about. Here's what's going on.
Yeah.
And, like, that could theoretically undercut you and your audience.
It does kind of also go to, you know, we've been discussing this for years. why doesn't Jerry Jones just create the Cowboys network and play the games on his own broadcast?
Yeah.
And he knows he gets a ton of money from, you know, all the networks. And they've created competition to raise that money.
Yeah.
Like, he can go out and people are going to show up for the Cowboys. But are they showing up for the Bengals? That's a different thing. And he's like, I got to give back to the NFL, the little people of the NFL every once in a while. So that's all. But this is, once you have the place to create all the information, you can tell the story you want.
Yes.
And I think that's why a lot of people wouldn't want that. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I do too. And plus, like most sources of news nowadays, you have to take the information and make your own determination about the validity of it if it's only coming from one source. Because Rich Paul's got an angle. We all do.
Oh, absolutely. I am concerned, too, about, I guess one thing would be, I have a player that left me, and now I'm just going to trash that player with all the behind this. That would be a bad look for an agent, I think.
I agree.
Like, that would really affect them in the future with certain clients, but you know, we've seen worse things happen.
Oh, absolutely. I'm with you on that.
So I just thought that was an interesting thing. Plus, again, during football season, Jerry on twice a week, once with KNC Masterpiece on Fridays, Stephen Jones on Mondays.
All right, I'll tune in.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right, guys. I got a new computer here.
Is this going to be more about the touch screen?
Oh, can I just touch the link?
Oh, my gosh.
The Giants have gotten Tom Coughlin to help reach out to Harbaugh.
Oh.
To ask him to join the Giants.
Huh.
And I think that there's a ton of respect between Harbaugh and Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin, two-time Super Bowl champion. He has hoisted that trophy. Mm. In New York, and he knows all the great things that come along with it. And, Mara told The Athletic that he met Harbaugh for lunch, had the informal thought, and people on both sides say Harbaugh remains very interested, but, hey, we got to push this over the top. Let's get Tom Coughlin in here. He knows what it's like.
Okay.
Kevin, you're interviewing for your dream job.
Yep.
What's your dream job?
I really like this.
Okay.
Or I would really like to be the Speaker of the House. I think that would be neat.
Well, the people have to elect you to that, I believe.
Sure. Oh, still a dream, Joe.
Okay. You get to be the cap manager for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome, too.
All right. You get to be the cap manager.
I want to do that.
Alec, I'm definitely going to come to you here in just a moment, so start thinking of your dream job. You get to be the cap manager for the Dallas Cowboys. Who is it? Is it the ghost of Tom Landry? Kevin, come be the cap manager. Or is there somebody else out there that you think would absolutely close the deal for you to get the job you wanted?
It would definitely not be the ghost of Tom Landry.
Lies. I agree. I think he's right. I think the ghost of Tom Landry might scare you, and you'd be like, crap, I have to do it. But, like, would Jerry walking in being like, Kevin, you know, I've heard you talk about this on radio for years. Would it be Jimmy Johnson?
See, I think it would be Jerry because I would have a question and be like, hey, I'm not a yes man. Is that going to work for you? I have lots of thoughts and opinions that might piss you off. And I'll play interview clips and be like, oh, yeah.
You know what? I think he'll say, Kevin, just like I told you in that one interview.
Man, if he remembered that,
I appreciate your opinion, and
I
will jot it down on this little notepad where I just scribble stuff. Because he does that a lot of times. He just scribbles things, which I see a lot of people do that, by the way.
And that's one of the many reasons I hate when people are like, oh, you guys are the Cowboys pocket. Well, hey, guess what, dumbass? Do you think if that was the case, we would be asking the questions that we do and getting yelled at and getting hung up on and getting sworn at? No. Secondly, I would drive even more cars from Platinum Chevrolet. I'd go buy more. I'd be like, I got all of the Cowboys'
Every
money.
Every single car from Platinum Chevy. Dude, by the way, go check out some more Platinum Chevy right now.
Do it.
While you're listening, Platinum Chevy it up.
Man, if you could drive in your new Platinum Chevrolet to Rhino Shield and being careful that if something happened, you would call the Frankels, and if you were worried about the money, you would get the book from MoneyWorks, and then you could invest the money you got to buy Best Buy windows, or you could spend some of it making plays on Underdog or shaping up with Sosa. That'd be great.
And then take it to the next level with Men's Tee. Yeah,
exactly.
Dude, this is, Kevin, I think you're dead on about that. This is a new year, new you. Do all those things that Kevin just suggested.
Oh, man. The White House press secretary, that would be awesome, too, because I wouldn't give vague answers, but if I thought the question was aggressive, I might give an aggressive answer.
From the Texas from Texas Size Rips on the Twitch, Kevy wants to be, I don't know why he said Kevy, wants to be a Speaker of the House like Kevin Spacey in House of Cards.
Oh, man. See, because that's where you see where the real power is, right? Mm-hmm. Either that or be a faux vice president where I'm the de facto president. Like, that's what we've talked about. My wife could get elected president, and she was like, you could just run things. I could not, because I am kind of abrasive sometimes.
And then you bring in your security guard, and you'd be like, hey, come in here. My wife and I need to talk to you.
Yeah. Check out House of Cards. It gets weird on you, man.
It gets real weird
both
on you.
Both the British version and the U.S. version kind of follow that path.
There is a freak athlete alert, by the way. There is a 6'5", 230-pound defensive lineman who runs a 10.55 100-meter dash.
Wow.
From D3 Hope College out there, Kevin. Let's keep an eye on this guy, see if Woolchuck and them have watched him play yet.
Who dropped the ball on watching that person and being like, hey, let's take your God-given ability and see what we can do with it?
And I think word is, I need to find, he had 21 tackles for loss and 15 sacks. So,
well, there you go.
But it's D3, you know what I mean?
Okay, but like you would think, all right, you're in D3. You got the production. You are freaky fast for your size. You would think a whole bunch of schools would be like, come on down.
Hey, Alec, how fast is a 10.55 100 meter?
For that size, that is ridiculously fast.
Yeah.
Like, that is not human.
You could lose in an early Olympic qualifier with that time.
Is he going into the portal then? Is that what's going to happen here?
I would
that
assume.
That dude needs to be,
or next
to be
year,
in the portal.
He might have 25 sacks.
And then I think that's all I got time for, Kevin, but we'll get to maybe tomorrow. The number one paid app in China is called Are You Dead? We'll get to it tomorrow.
No, I'm not.
I want to know more about it now because I want to see if we have a lawsuit on our hands.
I want to know if my internet works.
Not only have we done Are You Better, we have made several insinuations about Are You Deader along the way. So we might have actionable information right there.
Guess what? Kevin has won in most instances where you've asked Are You Deader because he's like, still alive.
Check. Yeah. In your face, Socrates.
Yes, you can Tolo go in a Platinum Chevy vehicle that you buy. I would not suggest Tolo going in the test drive process.
Yeah, or else you better buy that car. Because if you faked it just to get that video going, not cool. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the It's Definitely Not Tuesday tailgate. Lots of transfers, a new playoff system, and should the season be over by January 1st? Next on The Fan.
And now five wide receivers on third down and five for Mendoza. To the end zone, wide open receiver and a touchdown. E.J. Williams.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. It's time for the It's Definitely Not Tuesday tailgate. Let's talk some college football. And you know what? We might just do it again tomorrow. Let's try to catch up with a lot of the movings and shakings that have been happening.
What's up? It's Draymond Green back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
In the transfer portal on Tuesday, the Buckeyes saw their tight end, Max Claire, or Clare if you're fancy, decided to leave school early and head for the 2026 NFL draft. And two portal defenders in Rusaw and Smith are leaving Alabama for Ohio State. I know there were some people that were worried about some players either going to the draft or transferring out of Ohio State, but it feels like they're probably going to be okay. The bigger name that we've talked a whole lot about this year, he was on Fan University earlier in the season. Texas Tech star linebacker Jacob Rodriguez officially declared for the NFL draft. Part of the Red Raiders team that won the Big 12, went to the college football playoff, probably should have been a Heisman Trophy finalist. Corey, are you excited about the pro prospects of Jacob Rodriguez?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. I just watching him a couple times. I liked what I saw as far as his instincts. Knew where to be physically. He could handle the blocks, shed those the way that I thought he needed to. He's a playmaker too, man. Like that's the thing that I think excites people. Now, nose for the ball, the film you watch, those things prepare you. Listening to Isner this morning talk to Sean and RJ. You like him, right?
Yes, I do.
You love tennis more than anything.
I do really.
Or more than anybody else. He was talking about Rafa and your guy.
Federer.
And he was like, Federer was this guy where his work that he put in all week, just by the time he got to the court, he was relaxed. He was just fine because it was easier to play against an opponent than it was what he did working on it all week. And Rafa hit the ball so hard all week long that, like, that's what he was going to be doing whenever he got back out on the court. He was hitting the ball that hard,
right,
too, because he practiced that way. The quote of your practice, what you are in pressure situations, exposes you to how you worked leading up to it. I think that's what you get with Jacob Rodriguez, is a guy that's prepared for it. Comes from a football coach, too, at Texas Tech that knows football.
And a lot of people will look at the potential, the athleticism, the measurables for other players. If you want to look at Rodriguez and what did he do on the field, he had 128 tackles, 11 tackles for loss this season, a sack, 4 interceptions, and a nation-leading 7 forced fumbles.
Jeez, man. That is playmaking ability. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So he is headed to the draft. Let's talk about some of the changes or commitments through the portal. I know Sean and RJ were talking about this, I believe, yesterday morning, but in case you missed the news, go ahead and give me cut number 10. Because this gentleman has gone from Auburn to the University of Texas.
6 seconds remaining. Deuce Knight looking to go quickly. Fires it to the end zone. Trying to go back shoulder. How about a touchdown for Cam Coleman?
Now, it's been a big several days for the Longhorns, as not only did they pick up Cam Coleman, the number one wide receiver in the transfer portal market, the number one running back, Hollywood Smothers, if you remember, I brought him up last week. He had committed to Alabama. But
brother of
then,
Colby.
I don't know that to be the case,
Kobe
but
Smothers.
I don't know if it's not the case. Right. But instead, he switched it, and now he is going to Texas as well. And if you're just looking for some offensive boost right there, Coleman and Smothers is a hell of a combination to go into Austin.
Do you think that they are going to Austin to play with Arch? Or are they going to Austin to play for UT?
Yeah, I think it's probably both.
Okay. I mean, that probably those can go hand in hand for sure.
I think it's probably both.
I've felt for a long time that Texas just kind of lacked that receiver that you're like, that dude, that's a one guy that you can't cover.
Yeah.
And I watched this kid play against OU this year and was just like, what the hell is happening? And that's when Carter Freeman, who I said I'd never say his name on radio again, but here we are. I hope he texts me.
I dumped it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But he was like, look, man, this is an All-American. He's a stud. Like, he is going to make you look this bad. And so then we saw he was visiting Texas, and we both were like, oh, you better get on the phone right now and just make sure that that dude does not end up there, because it's going to be brutal. This is a great op. This is a dude. He is so much fun to watch. I'm going to have fun watching UT for because of this year.
Yeah.
And then to see another commit like Hollywood, even better. They've never had – have they ever really had problems recruiting? It doesn't feel like
so.
No,
I think the issue has been underperforming from some of the key skill players they've got over the years. But Coleman and Ryan Wingo together, that's a heck of a receiving duo. That is a heck of a receiving duo right there. All right, for Ole Miss, there are still some things in flux as Trinidad Chambliss' six-year waiver was rejected by the NFL, but then his attorney filed an injunction to stop that and hopefully open up the appeals process. In the meantime,
you asked that the other day. You were like, you think an appeal is going to be on the way.
And
I was like, man, it should be.
It is on the way. We'll see how that works out for him. But in the meantime,
who's he appealing to?
Well, it'll probably go through mediation and the NCAA.
Who already said no?
Yeah. So it's much like, it's the same thing like what's kind of happening with Gruden and with Flores, is they want an outside, like not necessarily a trial, but an outside decision and mediator, as opposed to going through the system process that already rejected you.
It's like whenever your kids are upset about something and they say, call grandma. The other thing is, though, I know you have stuff you want to get to, but Kevin,
I just want to say they picked up Deuce Knight, who's a former five-star quarterback. And so if it doesn't work out for Chambliss, which that would be my guess,
they got a good replacement
opportunity there.
You pointed out, though, and I can't remember if this was on air or off, like, wouldn't it seem like the NCAA would want these players to stick around a little bit?
Yeah, you know, that is a confusing thing for me, because you have all these fans complaining, and it feels like the NCAA is like, well, we're trying to control it, but like all these players want to go to the portal or go to the NFL. Here you have Chambliss, who certainly one of the stories of the college football playoff.
And performed,
yes,
like it too.
And in two games where the stakes were high and it was close, he was remarkable. And here he is saying, I would like to come back for that school.
Would be the poster child of why you want to come back to college.
And I'm sure the NCAA is going to say, well, you know, we can't give you that 6 year of eligibility because now all these other players are going to want to stay and blibbity blabbity. By the way, while that's happening, you know, it's really funny because you can't let players stay in college football for too long. Did you know that college football, their coaches union, they voted unanimously to expand a redshirt year from 4 games to 9 games.
How does that, can you explain how that affects things?
So, you know how, like, you could get a redshirt if you didn't really play.
Right.
Now they're like, oh, yeah, no, you can still redshirt if you played 2/3 of the season. No,
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, well, but guess what?
Yeah, 4 games is a lot already.
But guess who unanimously approved it?
Coaches.
The coaches.
Well, that
meanwhile,
makes sense. They want players.
Okay, well, meanwhile, one of the players who desperately wants to stay in college football, and it feels like he could be a big selling point for you, maybe college football is like, I'll be fine. We don't need selling points, is being denied that opportunity for now. And again, I don't think he's going to win his appeal, but we'll see.
Good for him.
Maybe. Well, I mean, look, I guess if he loses, he goes to the NFL and gets drafted and makes millions of dollars. So it feels like it'll probably...
If he wins...
Then he'll stay in college and make millions of dollars. So either way...
His life's going to be fine.
Congratulations, Mr. Chambliss. You are going to be a millionaire.
You think he ever goes to volleyball tournaments and roots for her?
Who?
Chambliss's girlfriend.
I don't know.
She's a volleyball player.
I did not know that.
And I wonder...
Probably,
I wonder if he's like, you know what? I can't wait to go to this volleyball game.
Yeah.
Or if he's just like, nah, I can't show up to that.
No, I bet he's fired up about it.
Right. If Jess had a volleyball game, are you there?
Sure.
You cheering the loudest?
No.
Why?
Because I feel like I will sit there and I will give thoughts after the match, and I will support them at the appropriate time.
You think Jess?
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Is out there cutthroat trying to really win that match?
Yeah, look, I'm not holding up a sign that says, we want a pancake, we want a pancake. Like, I'm not.
You're taking notes.
Yeah, that's not me. Yeah. And that's just, I'm not going to hold up the defense sign. I mean, I probably would, but I'm not making the defense
Are you
sign.
Holding up the fence or the D?
Either way. You're welcome. All right, now let's talk about the college football playoff. So the deadline for a new format is January 23rd. So it's a week from Friday. So it's really interesting. It's while we're gearing up for the national championship game on Monday. How long is that going to last before people are focused on what's the new format?
Yeah.
So the Big Ten wants a 24-team college football playoff, which I hate. The SEC supposedly is willing to have a conversation with them because all other conferences are irrelevant, all right?
Yeah.
The SEC and the Big Ten are going to decide what happens, and you're going to go along with it or else. And so supposedly the Big Ten is talking with the SEC about an intermediate, maybe only a one-year, 16-team playoff. What would you think about the future of a 24-team playoff? That means every team to win the national championship would have to play at least four games. Some would have to play five more games.
That's more colleges that get more money.
Yep.
More programs that get more opportunities. Now, here's what I don't want to happen. Half of them are Big Ten, half of them are SEC, and we're good to go.
Like, I mean, that's part of the
that's
reason.
That's what they're pushing for.
Yeah.
The reason that
absolutely
they're saying this is that is because they want more of their teams in. If you're going to do something like that, I would like to see more opportunities for the UNTs, for the Tulanes. They might get crushed. Let's give them four teams out of that. Let's give them six. And then, because that's good for their programs. It's good for the entire thing across the board. If you have more schools that get that extra money, they can take that money, put it into their fund for the next year, and then try and build a real program that can compete with you down the road.
Now, this is interesting. Dante Moore has announced that he's staying in school. Is he going back to Oregon for sure, or is he just staying in school for his redshirt junior season? Breer says he's staying in school for his redshirt junior season. Here's the only reason
Schefter said he's returning to school.
Yeah, okay.
But
there
it didn't
go.
Say Oregon, it just says to school.
And the only reason is you would think Oregon would be like, well, you were already our starter and you were really, really good, so we'll keep you in place. But the thing that I was curious about, and we talked about this maybe on Monday with Dylan Raiola transferring over to Oregon, I guess I kind of assumed that some semblance of discussions had taken place where Raiola was assured that he was going to be the starter, or else why wouldn't he transfer to any number of different places? And let's just face it, with the portal and with college football the way it is now, do you really think Dylan Raiola, who has his own dreams of being a first-round pick that seem more realistically possible, and then Dante Moore, who a lot of people thought was QB number two going into this draft, are going to be on the same team at the same time? By the way, let me rescind my Ty Simpson opinion from earlier, because I said a lot of people thought he was QB three in the draft. Well, if Dante Moore is not going to be in the draft, does that make Ty Simpson the de facto QB two in this draft?
Man, this is so the Dante Moore thing in Raiola. That is part of this system.
Sure.
The recruiting system. You can't wait for your quarterback. You have to hope that you have thoughts from him, but in that case, you have to make that move quickly. So, of course, Oregon would make that move, and as soon as he, you know, expresses interest, you, all right, let's do it. Let's come on.
Yeah.
And then you can't wait on more because you don't know what's going to happen. You could have lost this other kid. This is a fascinating part of this system. Kevin, this is why we need to now initiate the trade portal. All right, so now that you have two quarterbacks like this.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so in on that.
And you want a different player you weren't able to get, but you got a prime quarterback that you can send to somebody, but you want that defensive end from another school.
Man, this
trade portal.
This is wild. Now I really want to see how this is going to play out. I get how Oregon would be like, no, you should both stay here. But I could see how Raiola and Moore are like, what the crap? Mm-hmm. Moore's like, you told me I would have my... But the thing about Moore that I'm interested in is he knew Raiola was transferring there now that he's made this agreement. Raiola didn't know that Moore was going to be back in school when he did that. So I wonder if they're both going to stay there at Oregon. Like I said, you could do that, but that just doesn't feel like the current culture of college football whatsoever.
Yeah, and well, that being said, Kevin, think about this. You want to go to Oregon because you're going to get so many different jerseys.
I mean,
and then you can donate those to charities or charity sales.
I don't know if that is a defining factor for some of these players, but that's a good question.
You go to Bama, you just get that one ugly maroon one, you know?
Shut up. I love that color. We'll talk more probably about college football tomorrow because I really do want to talk more about this playoff because I think 16 is where they should max it out, but that does not appear to be the direction that they're going to go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan where I want you to all hope and pray with me that we are not going to continue the conversation that we had off air for this crosstalk. By the way, Ranger Suarez signed with the Red Sox 5 years, $130 million. I believe that was about $130 million more than the Rangers would have been willing to pay to bring on somebody named Ranger. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic because I saw this article that gives, I think, hope for people across the world. Did you know about the one-point slam championship?
No.
All right. So this was a tennis event where pros, amateurs, they play 1 point. And whoever wins that point moves on. So
pros versus Joes, tennis edition?
Yeah, kind of. Now, this dude is an amateur. He beat Jannik Sinner. So, like, one of the top, at least top two players in the world. He made it to the finals, and he played the 117th ranked woman in all of tennis. She hit the ball out of bounds, and...
As one does.
Yes, and he won $670,000.
Wow.
Whoa. It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Show me the money.
So it's all for a bag?
Yeah, so I think it gives us hope that could you win that one play against... I mean, probably
can
not.
You return the serve?
I couldn't even get to the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Can you return the serve? I mean, you have no chance. That thing is hitting the middle of the racket.
Oh,
it might get
sure.
blown out of your hand, you know.
How fast of a serve do you think you could hit? Like back, hit back, not serve yourself.
Oh.
Like
just
they might crank it up
it.
To 130 miles per hour. No chance.
Like inbounds?
Yeah. 70?
Yeah.
99.
I was thinking, yeah.
Some practice,
60 or 70.
Okay.
Is this coming right at me, or do I have to move for it?
You have to move minimally. Maybe a step here or there.
52. I'm going about three steps up into the stands to maybe get the ball.
Okay.
Yeah. Get racket on it. Just pick it up.
I'm going to back that thing up as far as I can go.
You are on this back thing up stuff.
Back up that.
What was the, you just
Let's
said
avoid
the,
that conversation.
Would you try to psych them out by moving
juvenile
up on the court? And you're like, that's right. I'm standing right here.
Yeah, I'm going to play right up here in this kitchen. Pickleball kitchen.
I like it.
I'd be willing to try anything at that point, but that's dangerous against a pro. I think it's much more likely you would get hurt in the torso, in the nads, in the eye. You know, there's a lot of bad ways that could go on there. So I just had a follow-up question on this tournament. So it's one tennis play for
Correct.
Advancement. How do you decide who serves?
I think you...
Rock, paper, scissors.
I don't know if that's
Thumb
the case.
War.
But actually, let's go with that. Actually, that's a great question. What would you choose? Rock, paper, scissors, flip a coin, thumb war. What would be what you would choose to make the decision about who gets to serve?
Rock, paper, scissors, best two out of three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I kind of feel like if you were the bummier of the player,
yeah,
the bummy player gets to serve first.
How do you decide?
If, okay,
well, he's going up against Yannick Sinner. I know.
Yeah.
It's me.
Who's going to tell me I'm not as good as Yannick Sinner? You got to believe or you've lost the match anyway, guys.
True.
You got to go right about the mental.
I kind of feel like
that's
the first one you put into the net, though, is you're going to be like, crap, maybe
well,
I'm not as good
as you. Deep down you're not as good and you're going to lose. But you've got to go out there thinking, I got the eye of the tiger.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I got a soul of a warrior and a champion. I got that warrior spirit about me. That's what Tom Brady taught me all those years ago.
How many participants did we have in this tournament, by the way?
Also, don't make out with your son.
There were yes, there were hundreds, including
and they were all waiting around to play.
Yeah, it was like a giant tournament, so they were going off of different courts and everything.
Okay.
And then eventually they consolidated.
So center court. Court.
Yeah, and like Coco Gauff, Francis Tiafoe was there. There were like lots of pros in there too.
That's
like,
sick.
But you have one bad, it goes off the side of your racket. You have one bad swing, it goes out. And you're
double
like,
fault.
Yeah, yeah, you're out.
No margin for error.
Exactly. And I think that's super
high, high pressure stakes, man.
Exactly.
Is this televised?
It wasn't Australia.
Oh. Day before, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So it's taken place many days ago now. Yeah. But yeah, I did not get a chance to see it live just after the fact.
I'm just using the opportunity to go McEnroe on it. You know, I'm going to screw something up and then just be like, screw this, throw my racket up into the stands.
Yeah, you cannot be
throwing a tantrum. Start yelling at the referee about stuff.
Yeah.
And tell the guy,
yeah,
tell
and
then the tennis
there.
Crowd whistles at you. They don't boo you. They start whistling at you.
That's
more. Like is that going to psych you out?
Yeah, that's freaking me out. Just thinking about
like a
it.
Cattle call?
I don't know. It's like Vuvuzela, just constant.
Vuvuzela is incredible.
All the time.
What do you guys think about interviewing Christian Parker? And what do you, for the Cowboys DC, and what do you think about the idea of an ascending coach versus a descending coach? Like, sorry, Jonathan Gannon.
Christian Parker, I'm hearing nothing but great things about.
Yes.
He sounds like a badass. I'm very excited about the potential of this. I mean, it's all the passing game coordinators. You know, that's who the Cowboys want. DBs and passing game coordinators. Obviously, the Fangio tree had to work his way up. I know you guys were talking about him. Our buddy Cody Alexander, who we had on a few days ago, said he loves him. He's a great human being. Mike Pettine, Vic Fangio, Evero are the only other coaches he's been with at the NFL level. All these guys have had success in the league. And he is the dude who deserves all the credit for Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean coming in and being awesome as rookies. Now, I think they're also just really good players.
They're good players.
Yeah.
But he totally took what was a terrible Eagles secondary and helped that end up being a strength to the football team en route to a championship. So I think this is absolutely one of the young up-and-coming coaches. When it comes to Charlie Bolin, who's another name, the Giants interim DC, he did do a good job in season with the Giants. Their defense certainly got better. But I love this. I just love the fact that the Cowboys didn't BS us. They said they wanted to cast a wide net, and they certainly are casting a wide net. This seems like it is the best coaching search in terms of doing your due diligence since probably the Wade Phillips hire.
Giving Brian Shoddy Flores. Credit on that?
Yes.
I'm giving Shoddy all the 100%. Credit on that.
100%. The
Brian
Joneses
Flores
are like, never heard of this guy.
With the Commanders, guys. So
yeah, I know.
Take that for
that's a weird one, because today I believe he's officially free of his contract from Minnesota. So, I mean, he can go interview anywhere he wants to. It doesn't just have to be the promotion thing for the head coaching job. So if the Cowboys want to interview him, he's available to interview.
Do you think Jerry and Steven are buzzing down to Shoddy like, come on, let's go. We have vacation plans.
I think they're already packing.
Why don't I recognize any of these names?
Yeah, I think they're already packing. Yeah, I think that's a big deal.
I could see that
They're already
one.
Packing, and they're just like, he'll let us know at some point. And Shoddy's like, I guess I got to do this all on my own. Or McCarthy probably sat around and was like, whenever they want to, I'll hop into.
And it'd be a dream come true if they would just go on vacation for the next 5 years and let Will and Shoddy
handle this thing.
I think it could be a real upgrade.
Football guys.
Where you might pick the best person as opposed to, like you just said, I've never heard of that guy. Like, that makes me nervous that name might come in. And
you
got to
give him
Ooh?
A comp. You got to give him a comp. This defensive coordinator.
That is
he is the next.
Yeah, give me a good name that I know. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, Heggy. We're all over the Mavs Anthony Davis story with Tim Cato making an appearance at 3 o'clock.
Nice. Will you ask him if he would have not broken the news that was wrong, only to break the correct news later in the day? I think it's weird that Shams broke the news that now we believe because he was wrong the first time.
You think Shams has fallen off?
He scooped himself.
Yeah, that's weird, right? Like, why would I believe it's true this time when last time you were definitively incorrect?
I don't think he was wrong. I think he reported that the team believed he was going to have the hand surgery, and then he was like, hell no, we're not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Rich Paul was like, that contract that I wanted with the
Get me the hell
the
out of here. Yeah, we don't need operations. We're going for our next contract extension.
Yeah, we can get the operation after that.
He's
who
lying.
In the effing universe would give him 4 years, $275 million?
I want that agent.
I don't know.
Yeah, if he gets it, we all should hire Rich Paul.
Then. Looking for five more guaranteed for my client over here. He can't make it 5 minutes on the court, bro. Who are you kidding?
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say National Feast of the Ass Day, Kevin.
I mean, that's true, but I'll skip it.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.